Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Tech Expert. Today we sit down with Ronnie Barnhart. He is a server administrator. He's been on Experts Exchange since 2003, and he was another member that took part in our Reconnect pilot program. Again, the Reconnect program is launching on November 1st, so if you haven't registered for that, please go register. We dive into a little bit about his experience with conferences, just where he's at in his life, what he expects at conferences. Randy, you have any thoughts to add on to the little intro to Rodney?
Just maybe that, you know, the common theme I think we just keep hearing is how important it is to make connections with peers and people. And, you know, that just obviously is a key part to your technology journey. So, yeah.
Great. Well, I'm excited to launch these little pilot podcasts of Reconnect, because I do think Reconnect is going to be a huge thing for the community at EE, but also just the brand of EE, and just getting out there and showcasing the amazing individuals on our site. So this is the last episode with all the individuals and members that took part of the pilot program. Again, we are launching this Reconnect program live on November 1st. I'm sure you've gotten some emails from Casey, community. Come join, learn more about it, how you can be a part of it. Well, with that, I'll leave you to listen to Ronnie Barnhart.
Well, good morning, Rodney. I'm Randy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about y'all?
Doing good.
Doing good. Where are you right now, Rodney?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. How long have you been in Charlotte?
I've lived in this area my entire life. I actually live in Hickory. I work in Charlotte, so I do the commute every day.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll kind of dive right in. And this is kind of our podcast to kind of showcase what you did with the Reconnect soft launch program and going to VMworld and all those great things that you got to attend. So we just kind of want to let you have a voice for a little bit and let our community and listeners kind of learn a little about you and what you do. So we'll kick it off with just kind of letting you tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I'm been in IT for over 30 years. Ended up kind of accidentally. I originally started working for a company that did check processing equipment for banks. And I just was a service engineer and worked in the banks. And then in the mid-90s, the Dell Computer Corporation came to them and said, hey, we want you to do all our warranty work. So that was a push for everybody to then become A-plus certified. And the company started growing that business as well. And we did it for a number of other companies, like at the time Compaq and IBM and all of that. So the company eventually split into the banking side and the computer services. And I went with computer services. And as time went on, jobs changed, and I stayed primarily within manufacturing and IT within manufacturing environments. And so I ended up where I'm at now as originally hired as primarily for backup and recovery. But since then, I've one of the primary data center people managing VMware and storage and all the infrastructure that goes along with that.
Great. So how kind of take us back a little bit. How did you get into technology to even start?
Well, I was originally wanting to be an architect. And I was in high school in the mid 80s, and the high school, my senior year, had gotten the first computer class, and I'd also taken drafting, and which was really much before computer aided drafting. And I decided I cannot sit behind this desk all day and just draw picked lines and stuff. And I took the computer class, and I'm like, and electronics, and I'm like, I really like this, and I like the idea of repairing them. And so I originally went to school to just kind of be basically a technician and repair. My original associate's degree is in electronic engineering. And then I've always kind of had a knack for taking things apart and putting them together. And that just kind of moved me on into IT and technology.
Great. So how did you stumble across Experts Exchange?
Around 2000, I was assigned, the company I worked for did like contract services for various other companies. And I was assigned in another town and working, I'd never worked with Citrix. And they're like, oh, well, we have these new Citrix servers we want you to install for us. And they were running like WinFrame on NT4. And I was, I guess, Googling some questions, and that ran me across Experts Exchange to answer some of my questions. And so I used that to answer some of the questions. And then I decided, well, I can join and I can provide some insight and help people too. I may have seen a question on there or something that I knew the answer to. So I started answering questions on there. And then as I would run across some kind of problem I had to solve myself, I was like, oh, well, it'd be good to write an article about this. So then I started writing articles. And a few years later, they started doing the videos. So I started creating videos to help people as well.
Nice. That was back when 2003, it looks like, when you joined first.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So it's been about 20 years now.
Yeah. Way back when.
That's awesome. So on this podcast, I always try to get a little deeper because all we ever talk about is technology. So go a little bit deeper outside of technology. What are the hobbies and interests you have?
Well, I like to garden. So I have like a garden out back and I grow a lot of my own vegetables and stuff and process them and can them. And so we can do that with them. I like to work with my hands. So I've done some cabinet building. I've built an entertainment center at my house. I'm currently working on a set of pantry shelves and stuff that I'm going to put in my daughter's house when we go to visit them in a couple weeks. I'm married. I have four kids and three grandkids. So we, now that everybody's grown, we travel to see them more than we actually take true vacations.
Well, Hickory looks like a great little town. I'd never heard of it. And then I kind of checked it out and I was like, wow, that's a really nice, like medium, maybe to small, medium sized town. It looks like
it is. And it's quiet. Ironically, I live like 5 minutes from a Big Apple data center and solar farm and all that's located there.
Huh. We have.
So as some of the, they were a big manufacturing area and some of the textile and manufacturing has kind of gone away. Some of that infrastructure has been used for some large data centers in that area. So Google has a data center in that area. Apple has a data center in that area. And so does Facebook.
We have an employee. She does a data analyst for us, Anna Sarvis, and she's from North Carolina. And one day we were having a conversation, just a random conversation about people in the office, where they live. They could live anywhere in the world, and people are naming everything from Greece to Santa Barbara, California, you name it. And she said, I would live in North Carolina. It's the best place on earth. And I wanted to get your opinion on that.
I mean, it is really not. I mean, one thing about living kind of like in the middle is you're, you know, an hour, 2 hour drive to the mountains, 2-3 hour drive to the beach. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. You have large cities and you have small towns. So it's a good mix overall. And I've lived in North Carolina my entire life.
Well, she'll listen to this and she'll have two people now that think that. Well, great. I want to dive in a little bit about just your experience at VMware Explore. Just kind of recap that for us.
Well, I mean, it was good to be back in person. My problem with the virtual events is, at least for me, I do better at in-person events. So I have three computer screens a lot of times. And if I'm trying to do it like a virtual conference, I may have something pop up on Teams or my email and I get sidetracked. And so I like going to the in-person events because I feel I concentrate better on the subject matter. And you also get to learn about new technologies coming out. It was a little smaller than it's been in the past. Usually it's been about 30,000 people. This time it was more like 10,000 people, which had some advantages. They still seem to have all the content, all the breakout sessions And it was really a great event, in my opinion. It was just a little more scaled down. Hopefully next year, it'll go back to more of the same attendance levels. I did speak with one of the, ambassadors, they call them, when I went to get my badge, because we was kind of used to things happening on Sunday. And he was like, well, this is more of like a soft launch. So we're a little bit scaled down from the past, but I still enjoyed it. We still had a lot of the same vendor events, being able to meet with people and talk to people. I think with the in-person events that are better than the virtual as well, you have a lot of opportunities for sidebar conversations. So since they provide meals, we a lot of times you may sit down at breakfast or lunch, and they have all these just huge round tables, and it's a mix of people that just sit down. And so you can carry on conversations with other people from other industries and other companies, and maybe discuss similar problems or what you're working on, and get feedback from peers in that way.
If you could improve anything about the conference experience as a whole with all the conferences you've been to, what's something that you would improve?
The food. I mean, the meals are, you know, that they're included. And it kind of depends on the some are better than others. So some conferences you just have like Danishes at breakfast and box sandwich lunches, and those are okay. Other ones typically do or maybe have hot meals. And I know some of this, they were trying to, you know, you were still dealing with some COVID. So we had like these box lunches and they were hot. So supposedly, but in the past, they've usually had like the warmers and more of a buffet style. So hopefully they'll go back to that now that COVID's kind of starting to diminish some. But yeah, the box lunches, I would like to see a move back away from the box lunches.
What's one thing you know, when you said 10,000 people still sounds like quite a few people, but it sounds like what's important to you that you know, that gets back up to like 30,000? Is it just the energy that it provides with a lot of people there?
I think it's the energy it provides. And you have more option of networking with more people. I mean, the plus side is you didn't have to wait in line for as many things. You didn't have to like go into the restroom a lot of times. That can be problematic with 30,000 people. It was easier to get into breakout sessions too. So a colleague of mine who went, when we went to this, he had a session he didn't sign up for, but he's like, hey, I think that'd be great. And he went and got standby and he got in with me. When you have 30,000, that's not as likely to happen, but I still think you just have more energy and more input from people when you have a larger attendance event like that.
Right. Besides obviously learning about the new technologies, what's coming out, is meeting people and networking and like building those relationships almost as important to you as learning about the new technologies, or where does that fit in that like hierarchy?
I think it is just as important, because that gives you other people to bounce ideas off of, or, you know, if you're working on an issue, you could reach out to other people in your circle, similar to the way the Community on Experts Exchange works, to be able to reach out and get assistance from other people or get their opinion on something as well. So, you know, we've been going through looking at different technologies and doing a technology refresh. And so I can reach out to other people, some of which I've met at conferences, some of which I've met in training sessions, to see about what their opinions are on those technologies before looking at implementing them.
Right. What do you just email them? Is that, do you just gotten their contact and you'll send them an email and say, hey, you know?
Usually either I've connected on LinkedIn or gotten direct email contact or something like that. And I can send them a message and, you know, either ask a question or maybe arrange a phone call, you know, if we're wanting to get more in depth about it.
Right. Yeah.
So you've obviously touched on it a little bit, but why do you think it's so important for members to connect in person?
For a lot of that peer, it's you get an opportunity to meet people that you don't normally meet. So you can have these sessions, and even on the virtual type stuff, it may give a full list of attendees, but you may not know, if your interests necessarily or things you're working on would match any of those particular people. And you're not as likely on a virtual event to just randomly start texting or messaging with somebody within the session like you would when you go into a live in-person event and you sit down at a table or sit down in a chair beside someone. I think you're much more likely to interact with other people and start up some of these sidebar conversations when you're in person versus a virtual type event.
Do you belong to any groups like in North Carolina that you guys get together in like a monthly, quarterly basis in person or anything?
Yes. So several actually. So I'm a member of the VMware user group. I'm a member of the Citrix user group. There's a Carolina IT professional group. I think there is also a Nutanix user group, although I don't think they've had any events, at least since COVID started. There's a number of groups that I'm a member of that we do in-person, or where they are going back to in-person events.
Right.
Here in the
Carolinas. Is that usually like quarterly, monthly? What do you guys do there to connect with each other?
Probably quarterly, I would say. Not monthly, yeah. But it's probably at least quarterly.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Part of the Reconnect program, obviously, is you're kind of making content. You're kind of explaining what you're doing. Also trying to get some people to understand why you're there. And you also did an awesome job creating content. But I wanted to kind of get your opinion on why do you think it's important for IT professionals to start producing content? You've always been doing it for a while, doing videos and articles. I think this was kind of a next step of a different piece of content. Why do you think it's important for IT professionals to kind of break that barrier of the uncomfort of creating content and just go do it?
Well, it can be uncomfortable because I'm somewhat of an introvert. So I think being able to share knowledge with other people, you have a lot of younger individuals coming into technology. And while they know more, a lot of the newer technology, you still have a lot of older technology that's out there and older processes. So I think being able to share your experience and your knowledge with other people to enable them to learn is one of the more important reasons for creating content.
Yeah. Do you find that as you, this shouldn't be a rhetorical question, but it's going to come out like it's a rhetorical question. Do you find that as you do more, you get more and more comfortable with creating content?
Yes. Writing an article and that things like that, that's not really that difficult. Video and pictures is probably a little more. Ironically, the video content that I did and posted was something I just decided to do on a whim. Wasn't planned in advance. I just decided to do it the first day, and I started doing it every day after that. And then one of the pictures, there's one that I've used where I'm in the airport and they had this big VMware sign, and I think I'm standing there with my arm up to it. The coworker who traveled with me to the conference, it was his idea to take that picture. And more is kind of a, yeah, you can use this. And I didn't really think I'd use it. And I've actually used that picture quite a bit. So I actually have my coworker to thank for that one. And he kind of was like, hey, you ought to go do this. Cause he kind of knew I was involved in providing some feedback and in this Reconnect program. So some of the ideas I got, he actually recommended when we were traveling together.
Nice. One thing when you're talking about that, creating content, what would you tell somebody that maybe feels like, I know a little bit, but I don't know if I know enough to really be putting my voice out there in that medium, maybe. What would you do to encourage somebody that maybe feels that way?
Well, you never know. I mean, you may not think you know a lot, but you may know a lot more than other individuals. So you can take someone that has 6 months or a year of experience in working on something, and they may be able to create some feedback on, and somebody has no experience, it helps them. So I think in the end, you're going to help somebody, and it's worth doing just to, even if you're helping just a few people, it's still worth helping them.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about the Reconnect program, but this was kind of a pilot soft launch, kind of get some feedback how we could do this and get better at it. But we are launching a real launch on November 1st. So I'm sure you'll be here.
Yeah, I've already registered for it.
Yeah.
I saw the invite a little while before this recording session, and I already registered for it.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, good.
Got anything else before I close this up?
No, I don't think cool. so. Do you have any, any good stories that came out of your VMware, just the travel experience or anything, or any really great connections that you maybe made that you're just like, oh, I would have never thought. I mean, that kind of happens to us. I think I go into things thinking, well, I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen. And then I'm always maybe a little bit amazed that it's like, wow, we would have never, you know, talked to that person, or we would have never discovered this. And I'm so glad, you know, we made the effort to move into this.
I won't say there was anything that in this particular one that really jumped out. Like I said, it was probably a little more subdued than in the past. I do know a coworker and I, we were interested in, because like I said, we were looking at a technology refresh. So we were able to really go in depth on the hall where all the vendors are and meet with some of the vendors and things we're looking at. And some of the information there gave us some ideas about what we were going to possibly do on our next refresh, whether we do some of those or not. But we are definitely looking further into them. This particular time, there was nothing like really shocking or extraordinarily new. I would recommend if you're signed up to go to one of these, it's in a very large city, to when you're booking your hotels, to double check the addresses. So we learned there are three Marriotts within three blocks of each other, basically. And nothing like getting in the Uber and going all the way to the hotel and then being told, no, you're in the one the next block down. Yeah. And this is twice in San Francisco that my coworker and I have made the same mistake of going to the wrong hotel, because there are so many different hotel. I mean, the same chain, but there are like two or three of them like right in there together.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I always close up our podcast with two questions. And the first one is just more broad, general IT question for you. If you had to say, what is the next big thing in technology in your area, your field, that could change the world? What do you think it is?
It could change the world. Probably AI or machine learning is going to, I think, really advance in terms of both good and bad. So you're going to have systems that maybe self-heal better or correct for problems. But then you're also going to have, because I work some on the security side too. You have bad actors or threat groups who are learning to use it to help compromise systems too. So I think it's going to, in some ways, become a battle of the AI and machine learning between, for lack of a better term, a good versus evil type of a battle going forward in the future.
Yeah. Scary. Exciting.
All at the same time.
Awesome. Well, the big idea, the last thing we ask you is just if you could sum up this conversation and leave our listeners with one idea, what's your big idea?
My big idea? I've thought about that, and I guess always learn and always be willing to change, because that is probably the biggest thing in this industry, is everything is always changing. And it's easy to stay with what you're comfortable with, but sometimes the only way you are going to really learn and try new technologies and advance yourself is to break out of your comfort zone.
Love it. Well, Rodney, thank you again for joining us and doing a great job creating content at the conference for us. And we're excited to continue down this reconnect path. And I'm sure you'll be at more conferences with us.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Great to meet you, Rodney.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Hope you enjoyed Rodney and getting to listen about his story and his experience at VMware Explore. Again, please go like, share, comment, tell us who else we should be bringing on this podcast. We have thousands and thousands of members. We want to give them all a voice. Let us know. Again, go register for the Reconnect launch party on November 1st. We're excited about this program, really bringing some light and some face to our membership on EE. With that, we'll see you next time. As always, that's a wrap.